This week we're starting a new series. We're looking at what to do when. And we're going to talk about moments when the future's kind of foggy, when the outlook's uncertain. And we all have these when moments. You know, when you're on the edge of something and you're not sure what to do next, you know, it's a time that you do a lot of questioning where you're searching for answers. It's an occasion that you may encounter doubt. You know, when moments I have found are very frustrating sometimes confusing. At times, they're paralyzing. And if you're not careful, when moments, they can be destructive in your life. And my hope and prayer through this series is that you will come to realize that when moments, they're defining moments in your life, that they can be very clarifying and invigorating. They are God-given opportunities for you to grow as a person and to grow in your faith. And next few weeks, we're just going to be looking at different moments, those when moments in our life. And today, what I want to focus on is when life's not fair. How many of you have figured out that life is not fair? You do not have to be on this planet very long to figure that out, do you? You know, why do good people suffer? Why do bad people seem to prosper in life? You know, where's God when I'm hurting, when things are unfair? If God's really good, why doesn't he do something? Why doesn't he help? You know, Bishop or Rabbi Harold Kushner, and he kind of touched a nerve when he wrote the book. It's kind of a classic now, but it is when bad things happen to good people. And he talks about that life's not fair. The wrong people get sick, the wrong people get robbed, the wrong people get killed in war and in accidents. And so people look at life and all this unfairness and decide there's no God. The world's nothing but chaos. I mean, have you ever been there? 1 Peter, he writes, he says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." You know, it's a news flash. The fact is, life is no Disney World. You know, it is not designed to be that way. In fact, you need to know life. It's not fair. It's not fair. I used to love to listen to Paul Harvey growing up, and one of the things he would say quite often is, in times like these, it helps to recall there have always been times like these. You know, problems interrupt our lives. They dash our hopes. Fact is, problems will postpone your plans. Sometimes they'll disturb your dreams. Life's unfair. It's something you got to come to terms with. You know, when you face injustice, when things are not fair in your life. I mean, what should you do? What should you do in those times? You know, Solomon, the smartest man to ever walk the planet. He looked around at his world, and he was studying and observing. And he recorded some of his findings in the book of Ecclesiastes. I'd encourage you to maybe read it this week. It's a great book. It talks about a lot of stuff in our day and age. But Solomon comes to the conclusion in that book that life's not fair. In fact, he determines a lot of things. He looks around and he determines that criminals go unpunished in this world. He writes, he says, "Why do people commit crime so readily? Because crime is not punished quickly enough. A sinner may commit 100 crimes and still live." Oh, yes. I know what they say. If you obey God, everything will be all right. But it will not go well for the wicked. Their lives is like a shadow, and they will die young because they do not obey God. Solomon, he's seen crime, and he's seen it goes unpunished. And he's troubled by this fact. He says, I know what they say. They say if you do the right thing, that it'll turn out good for you. And the wicked, well, you know, that won't play well. But he said, you know what, I've been studying things, I've been watching. I'm not sure that's true. He goes on, he writes, he says, but this is nonsense. Look at what's happening in the world. Sometimes the righteous get the punishment of the wicked, and the wicked get the rewards of the righteous. I say it's useless. 3,000 years ago, Solomon, he's complaining about what we complain about today. He's so contemporary. He says, you know what? The courts are bogged down. Justice, it's slow. Delayed justice is injustice. I mean, who said crime doesn't pay? We live in a world, you get caught, you can sell your story, make millions, become an overnight sensation. It's not fair. It makes no sense. He goes on, and he writes, he says, I also noticed that under the sun, there's evil in the courtrooms. Yes, even the court of law is corrupt. I mean, how relevant is that? If there's any place there should be justice, it's in the courts. But it's not always true. Even there, there's no guarantee. Sometimes it's a matter of if you have enough money, if you know the right people, if you're willing to lie, if you can find a technicality. Solomon goes on in 4:1. He says, then I looked again at all the injustice that goes on in the world. The oppressed were crying, and no one would give them help. No one would help them because their oppressors had power on their side. You know, Solomon, he's looking around at his world. He's seeing that people are oppressing one another, and nobody's helping. He says, this isn't right. It's unjust. It doesn't make sense. But the fact is, history's littered with it, isn't it? The rich oppressing the poor, the powerful oppressing those that are powerless. You know, one race oppressing another race, men oppressing women. I mean, the list goes on and on. All you got to do is look around our world. Racism, sexism. Oppression all over the place. Kurds in Iraq, Armenians in Azerbaijan. You know, the Tutsis in Rwanda, Christians in Eritrea today, human rights in Myanmar, Laos, Syria, Darfur. The list goes on and on and on. I could spend the whole morning. Do you know this? That in 60 countries, more than 165,000 people were killed in 2011. You know what for? Being a Christian. Just being a Christian. That's according to Amnesty International. You know, the fact is oppression lives. You know, Solomon spent a lot of time. He's looking at things and he's looking at politics. And he goes, you know what? Politicians. Some of them are unethical. Imagine that. Huh. Wow. He says, I saw all this when I thought about the things that are done in this world. A world where some people have power and others have to suffer under them. Solomon's world, I think, was a lot like ours. Cover-ups, misappropriation of funds, fraud, leaks, bribes, kickbacks, embezzlement. I mean, the list goes on and on. Public servants weren't serving in his day. He says, don't be surprised if you see a poor person being oppressed by a powerful one. And if justice is being miscarried throughout the land, for every official is under orders from a higher up. In matters of justice, they get lost in red tape and bureaucracy. Solomon, he's looking at injustice one after another after another. Here's one of my favorites that he talks about. He goes, here's an injustice I've seen in the world, an injustice caused by rulers. Stupid people are given positions of authority. Woohoo! Ouch! I mean, Solomon, you got to remember, think about this. He wrote these words. Solomon was king at the time. This is his observation. It must have hurt. I know it was troubling to him. And the fact is, it was hitting at the heart of his administration. You know, Solomon is observing. He's studying. He's taking notes. He's paying attention. He noticed that good people sometimes go unrewarded. And he realized sometimes that the wrong people were prospering in life. Verse 14, he says, there's something else meaningless. There are righteous people who get what the wicked deserve, and the wicked people who get what the righteous deserve. Sometimes, dishonest people get ahead in the world. Does that bother anybody here? I mean, sometimes it appears the wicked are better off. Sometimes they're having more fun. It appears that the best way to get ahead is to be dishonest. Throw integrity out the door. Solomon says, it bothers me. It bothers me. It's unfair. I mean, how many of you have ever lost a deal? A sale, maybe a contract to someone that's unscrupulous. You know, someone that was willing to shave things, to play in the gray. Someone willing to bribe or provide a kickback. I mean, it's not fair, is it? It's not fair. Solomon said, my life, it's been useless. But in it, I've seen everything. Some good people may die while others live on, even though they're evil. Probably all had that very poignant moment. You're at a funeral and you think, why them? Why them? It's unfair. And Solomon, he kind of goes on this blitz of unfairness. Now he says, I have observed something else under the sun. The fastest runners don't always win the race, and the strongest warriors don't always win the battle. The best don't always win. Sometimes they finish last. It says the wise sometimes go hungry, and the skillful are not necessarily wealthy. You know, the fact is that some of you work really hard. You work hard to pay your bills, to raise your kids, to pay the mortgage. And the fact is, you struggle. And yet some drug lord living in a mansion, I mean, it's messed up. It's messed up. He goes, and those who are educated don't always lead successful lives. You know, the biggest salaries don't go to the smartest people. You know, high school dropouts on some reality TV show, they're making millions. Someone with a bizarre, immoral lifestyle, they become a celebrity. Ball players make more than president of the United States. Or someone that's trying to cure cancer. It's messed up. It's not fair. Maybe you didn't get the promotion, and you did deserve it. Maybe you didn't get the job, and you were the best qualified. Maybe you didn't get it because of your skin color, maybe because of your gender, maybe because of a bribe or money under the table. Maybe it was the boss's best friend that got it. I don't know. But Solomon gives example after example after example, and he says, you know what? Life's unfair. Life's unfair. And it raises a gigantic question for me. Why doesn't God do something about it? I mean, is God uncaring? Is God indifferent to what's happening in our lives? Is God helpless? No, no, no. There are a few things I think we've got to understand about injustices and life being unfair. One, because God allows us freedom of choice, we have injustices, and life is unfair. Deuteronomy says this, says, see, today I'm letting you choose a blessing or a curse. You'll be blessed if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today, but you will be cursed if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God. It's a choice in life. We all get to choose. We get to choose. Are we going to accept God's ways? Or are we going to reject them? Are we going to obey God in everything? Or are we going to disobey God? Are we going to do good in this world? Or are we going to do bad? You know, why would God do that? Why would God give us that choice? Well, friends, if you do good because you choose to do good, that's one thing. But if you do good in life because you have to do good, you don't get an option, well, that's something else. I mean, if you have to do good, you have lost free will. You've lost it. You know, God wants you to love him. Why? Because you choose to love him, not because you have to love him. So here's the good news today. The good news, you have freedom of choice. The bad news, everybody else has freedom of choice. You know? There's a lot of negative stuff that we all have to deal with that's a result of poor choices. Sometimes ours, sometimes other people. There's a lot of evil stuff in this world. Stuff that's off the charts that's result of evil choices. Or at the very least, extremely poor choices. Let's say that. And here's the deal. Choices affect us all. Even if you and I do what's right, we are going to be affected by other people's bad choices. It's just the reality of it. God could take away all the injustice in this world. God could do it in a heartbeat, snap of the finger, it'd be done. But he would have to take away your freedom to choose. And that's not going to happen. The fact is, we live in a world, and the world's going to be unfair and unjust. But I think you have to remember that this life, it's not the end of the story. This life is not the final chapter, that judgment's coming down the road. One blink, the other side of eternity, judgment's coming. Solomon writes, he says, I said to myself in due season, God will judge everyone, both good and bad, for all their deeds. Just because God doesn't deal with all the injustice in this world right now, just because God doesn't mean that he's not going to deal with it. It doesn't mean God didn't notice. It doesn't mean that God's going to let it slide. God says, you know what? There's going to be an account someday. It'll be an account in eternity. What we did on this earth, what we did with our one and only life, what you did with your giftedness. See, God's a God of justice. You know, Isaiah 30 says God is a God of justice. You know, God demands justice. God's going to settle the score. God will balance the books someday. And, you know, if that wasn't true, I think many of us would be in despair. You know, I'll watch something on the news and I'll see where someone committed murder. And they confess to it, but then they get off on a technicality. You know, Hitler, he killed millions. And then he killed himself. That just doesn't seem fair. You know, judgment's coming someday. Someday we're going to give an account. You know, why doesn't it happen right now? Well, friends, God delays judgment to show us we need a Savior. Solomon, he writes this, not a single person on earth is always good and never sins. In fact, turn to your neighbor and just go, that includes you. Go ahead. Come on, it'll be fun. That means we are all in trouble, friends. We are all in trouble. We have all sinned. We have all been unkind. We've all been cruel to our spouse, to our parents, to our children, to our neighbors, to a coworker. I mean, we want to believe that we're good. We want to believe that we're always unselfish, that we think of others first. But the reality is that's not always true. It's not always true. Solomon, he's going to kind of press things here a little bit. He says, I also said to myself, as for human beings, God tests them so that they may see that they're like animals. Surely the fate of human beings is like that of an animal. The same fate awaits them both. As one dies, so dies the other. All have the same breath. Human beings have no advantage over the animals. Solomon said, I looked. People, they don't test much better than an animal. And I read that and I think, ouch, that hurts. It's pretty blunt. But all I got to do is watch the news sometimes. I mean, we shouldn't be surprised at human nature. Given the opportunity, We are self-first. You know, given an opportunity, our natural self-centeredness will rise up, you know, without God. We'll act like animals. I mean, I could give you 1,001 examples of that. In fact, sometimes animals are more civilized. Normal people, given the right situation, are capable of anything. And I do mean anything. Without God, this world becomes very, very dark. We need a Savior in this world. God delays judgment so that we'd recognize that, so that people would come to understand we need a Savior before that judgment day. You know, Romans, Paul's writing, he says, for everyone has sinned. We've all fallen short of God's glorious standard. See, that's bad news for us. He says, yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. In other words, God declares us not guilty. Even though we are, he's going to say, you know what, you're not. I'm going to clean the slate. That's good news for us. He said he did this through Christ Jesus, who he freed us from the penalty for our sins. Friends, we do not need justice. We need a Savior. We have all blown it, time and time again. Every once in a while, I'll hear someone say, well, I want justice. Careful. You sure? Are you sure? I mean, if God gave you what you deserve, I mean, where would you be right now? I'm not sure we want justice. You know, the word sin, you spell it out, S-I-N. What's in the middle? I. Sin, right in the middle, the core is I. I have sinned. I need a Savior. God delays judgment so that we'd realize that. God also lets us go through some things that are unjust because he wants to build your character. He wants to build your character. Pain, suffering, problems, trials, failures. They all develop your character. They all do. Paul writes, he says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. See, it's toward an end of building us up, building our character. Friends, we have all learned more in the pain of life than the pleasures of life. If you're honest with yourself, you learned a lot more through your failures than your successes. You know, tough times develop character. Not easy times, not simple times. And friends, God is more interested in your holiness than he is your happiness. You know, I would challenge you to look at life I'm going to talk old school here for a minute, but they used to develop film, all right? And basically they would take a negative and they would turn it into a positive. They'd shine light through what they called an enlarger, and it went down onto photographic paper so that you could see the real image at that point. Solomon, he says, you know what? I've taken this snapshot of life, and it's pretty negative. It's not fair. It's not right. But he says, you know what? If you let God shine, if you let God work, God will take that negative and turn it into a positive. Some of you have been dealt a bad hand. Some of you today, you'd go, you know what? Life is not fair. What do you do? What do you do? I want to make this real easy to remember. I'm going to give you ABC, okay? One, accept that life's unfair. Come to terms with that. It is a fact of life. Quit trying to solve it. Quit trying to fix it. Just acknowledge that life's unfair. You know, Jesus said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have what? Trouble. Jesus says, in this world you're going to have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You know, in this world, you're going to have troubles. Things are not going to be right sometimes. There's going to be injustice. Things are not going to be fair. It is a harsh fact, but it's a reality. And in fact, if you spent every moment of every day doing whatever you could to be a crusader against injustice, trying to correct the wrongs in this world, friends, you wouldn't save society. You just wouldn't, because there's a deeper issue here. It is a flawed system. The problem is human nature. The problem is freedom of choice. And because of those two things, life is unfair. And if you do not get this one, if you do not get God's perspective on this, well, life's going to be pretty tough. You will go through life cynical. You will go through life bitter, resentful, disillusioned, and disappointed. Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to my friends? Why is this happening to my family? Why me? And it will eat you alive, and it will destroy you, and it will steal your life. See, you can't control your circumstances. But you can control how you respond to those. When you face injustice, when life's not fair to you, you can make a decision. Be God-honoring. Be God-honoring. Do the right thing. And I know as I say that, some of you are going, but Damon, you don't know what happened. You don't know what I've been through. It doesn't change. It doesn't change how we're to respond. I'm sorry you went through whatever you went through, but it doesn't change how you should respond to it. You should do the right thing, always the God-honoring thing. You know, Isaiah, he writes, he says, wash yourselves clean, stop all this evil that I see you doing. Yes, stop. Stop doing evil and learn to do right. See that justice is done. Help those that are oppressed. Give the orphans their rights and defend widows. He says, you know what? The world's unfair. And when the world's unfair, maintain your integrity. When the world's unfair, do what's right. When the world's unfair, do what is God-honoring, no matter how difficult that is. You know, when the world's unfair, do what you can to gain justice for others. Do what you can to fight for the rights of others, to do the godly thing. Do what you can to defend the oppressed. Do what you can to correct the wrong, but always do what's right and God-honoring. You know, Paul says, never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you're honorable, God-honoring in what you do. See, there's this modern trap. We live in a society that wants to mess us all up. It goes something like this. They did this, so I'll do this. You know, they did this, I'm just evening the playing field here. You know, they did this, looks like they're getting away with it. Maybe I can too. Friends, do not go with the crowd. You know, one day you're going to give an account for how you live in this life. And trust me, this isn't going to work. Well, you know, he did it. She did it. Everybody was doing it. It won't matter. God wants to know if you did the right thing. Be God-honoring and see, collect in eternity. When life's unfair, but you're God-honoring, no matter how hard it is, you do the right thing, God will reward you for that. God will reward you. Paul writes, he says, our suffering is light and temporary. Now, he's not making fun of it, saying, oh, it's a piece of cake. But he's saying, it's producing for us an eternal glory that is greater than anything we can imagine. See, he's doing a comparison here. He says, you know what? God's going to balance the books. God's going to settle the score. God's going to reward 100-fold, Scripture says. He's going to wipe away the tears. He's going to make everything right in the end. He says, the troubles that you're going through right now, they're temporary. I mean, life's unfair. What, 70 years? 80, 90, 100 years? But in light of eternity, a million years, a billion years, a zillion, a quadzillion, eternal perspective, not a big deal. That's what he's saying. In light of that, the troubles are light. I mean, how do you get the rewards? Well, friends, you got to admit you're not perfect. You got to admit you're not perfect. You got to admit that there have been times that you have created an unjust world, that you've been unfair, that you've been self-centered. You just got to admit you've sinned. You got to admit that you need forgiveness. And most of all, you got to admit that you need a Savior. So when you find yourself in that season and life's not fair, and I know some of you are there today, you're going, this isn't fair. It's just not fair. When you're in that moment, you don't need an explanation. Why this happened, why that happened. You don't need an explanation. You just need a Savior. You know, God, you got to remember, God has your best interest at heart. God's given you freedom of choice. And in that moment, when life's unfair, you get to choose. You get to choose. You're going to do good. You're going to do bad. And choose very carefully, because you will give an account of that one day. If you respond to life the right way, God says you'll be able to collect your rewards in heaven. In fact, he's stockpiling them right now. And here's what I believe. If you keep that in mind, when this world does not make sense, and I'll be honest with you, most of the time it doesn't. When life seems unfair, if you keep Jesus Christ front and center, he'll set you free from the burden of that one. That's how God works. Life's unfair. Be God-honoring anyway. It's what God's call is to us. Let's bow in a word of prayer together. Our holy God, God, we praise you. And God, I know today there are those that life has thrown a curveball. And they're frustrated, angry. Some may even feel ripped off today. But God, I pray that they would see it as an opportunity. I mean, we can't change what we're going through. We can just change how we respond to it. God, give strength, give wisdom. God, I pray that we would always, no matter how hard it is, be God-honoring with what we say and do. God, that we would hold tight to your Son, to your power, to your ways. God, that you would just set us free. Set us free from the struggle. Set us free from all the stuff that's going to just drag us down. when life's unfair? We'll just serve you that much harder, that much better. God, we give you the glory. We give you the praise. With all we say and do, God's people said, let's stand and sing together.